This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Thursday morning, Party Line here on, not a bad day. I'm stuck in the middle of Dayson, and she's our producer today, and she's doing a great job as always. She's going to get our guest on here in just a little bit. We're going to be talking to an expert regarding EV. Electric vehicles. Justin Fisher is going to be joining us in a little bit. We also hopefully be talking to one of our local dealers as well, talking to them about how things are happening out, panning out regionally and locally in car sales. And then at the top of the hour, we have a young lady that's going to be coming in from Boone County, Kirsten Walmsley from Thorntown Library and Boone County DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution. So a jam-packed show today. Glad to be with you. Also want to remind you that our sponsors, TC Trailer, if you're not pulling a TC Trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big Old Tires in Lebanon, I'm not too sure if those tires can fit on an EV. I'm sure they can. EV, gas, kerosene, whatever the case. Big Deals, save money now, 24-7, welovebigdeals.com. And Boone Carroll and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, all bringing you a free local online newspaper. The operative word there is free online newspaper for the masses all around the multiple counties that we serve here in north central Indiana, here north of Indianapolis. Well, we do have a forecast to share with you as well, and it's better than it's been in a while. Today, mostly cloudy with a high near 41, then tomorrow, sunny with a high near 50. How about that? Saturday, we're going to be right back at 50, and then Sunday, 53. And it just gets better all next week. So we're going to be in the 50s all next week. Dayson is smiling, big smile, because she is tired of the cold weather. Yep, she's giving me that lonesome look of I need some warm weather. Right now, we're going to be joined by Justin Fisher. He is an EV authority. Justin is an automotive analyst at CarEdge, a leading consumer platform founded by father and son team, Ray and Zach Shevska. That is dedicated to empowering car shoppers to make confident, informed, and financially savvy decisions. The company's CarEdge Pro subscription service gives car shoppers real-time market insights and an expert AI car negotiator. So that's pretty good. And with that kind of a purchase, you need all the help you can get. Good morning, Justin. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing well. I was just mentioning the forecast. It's we've been in the, I don't know where are you located, Justin?
West Virginia, pretty high up in the mountains.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful. We've been resorts, but it's cold.
Well, you've been getting some pretty crazy weather.
Yeah, but I think we like the snow over here. It gives us an excuse to bring snow plows out.
Now, does the EVs do they have EV snow plows yet?
No, that probably would not be a good use of an EV.
Well, that's just a little shot there. But, you know, we're talking about all kinds of really, because you're not just dealing with EVs. You really deal with the automobile industry as a whole, correct?
Correct, yeah. Keep a pulse on the whole market.
Yeah. Well, let's dive a little bit into the electric vehicle topic, though, because it has been such a, especially probably the last 5 years, 6 years, it has been dominating the topic when it comes to the automotive industry. Tell us a little bit where we stand right now with electric vehicles, the production rate, and where do you think things are headed?
Yeah, so as of late 2025, about one out of every 10 new cars sold in the United States is fully electric. That doesn't count hybrids. When you throw hybrids in the mix, it's like, at this point, somewhere around 30% or more. But that's actually quite a bit behind where the rest of the world stands. In Europe, you've got many countries, well over half of the cars sold are fully electric. But here in the U.S., as we know, in both West Virginia and Indiana, things are quite a bit more spread out. And, you know, U.S. drivers are different. We have different preferences. So EVs are taken on a bit slower here, but that's actually great news for consumers because you can tend to get some pretty good deals on them, especially after the end of the federal tax credit that concluded in late September of last year. So there's no official federal incentives for them anymore. State and local incentives may apply, but basically EVs are more negotiable price-wise than ever before.
And is it because just the idea that they're just not as popular here in the U.S.? You're saying one out of every 10 purchases, but you're saying it's higher when you bring in the hybrid. For me, I think the hybrid is the way to go, but you know, that's just, you know, my thoughts, because I think it's going to be a challenge. America has been, you know, the good old U.S. of A, you know, drive my Chevy and my Ford, and, you know, we've been very independent cusses over the years, and we like our independent being able to be behind the wheel and driving wherever we want to go. Because when I travel abroad and I see all of the public transportation like trains and bullet trains and transits and things like that, we just don't have that here because we have been so independent with our love for the automobile. But I'm not too sure that we're ready to give up the good old gasoline.
Yeah, I mean, I think multiple powertrains are here to stay for decades to come, even as EVs do gain more market share. Now, a few points to hit on. So a big reason why we've got such a slump in EV sales right now is the simple fact that anyone who was considering buying an electric vehicle at any point in the future already bought one before the September 30th tax credit ended, because they wanted to get that $7,500 incentive. So they went ahead and bought in September. You've got quite a bit of a lack of a market for now until it starts to fill back in with people needing cars who are willing to consider EV. But like you said, U.S. drivers, we tend to drive in a different habit than Europe and Asia. Those are very urban-centric continents, right? But here, we're pretty spread out, and that means you're going to end up needing more public fast charging than you might in Europe, and that infrastructure is still being out. It's getting a lot better, but it's not quite what many drivers would expect for full convenience.
Yeah, and that's a great point, the infrastructure, and I'm not too sure, because I talk to electric companies, and I talk to folks that are in the power industry, and they just say that our infrastructure is not necessarily ready in it. And I know that at one time they were talking by 2030 that we were going to be, I thought that was kind of a pie in the sky idea, because I just didn't see that happening. I mean, that's just 4 years away. I just don't see the infrastructure getting there. But when you're talking about charging stations, are we seeing more and more charging stations being built across the country so that those points are smaller or shorter?
Yes, so two big things have happened in just the past year or two that have really made it easier to travel with an electric vehicle. Number one, the Tesla Supercharger network has opened up to just about every brand, every automaker, whether you own a Volkswagen or a Ford or a supercharger. No matter what you think about Tesla, those charging stations are the most reliable, and they're by far the most widely dispersed. They're everywhere. And that makes it a lot easier to travel with an EV. Now, it's almost cost-effective if you can charge overnight at home. It's a lot slower, but it's whatever residential electricity rate is. So that's important to keep in mind. EVs don't make much sense financially if you cannot charge at home or work. Mm. But, that's definitely something to keep in mind. Another big development over the past year for charging has been seven automakers banded together and created a brand new charging network that they're rolling out called IONNA. And I believe there's already a station or two in Indiana, which isn't a lot, but keep in mind, this whole thing's like a year old, and they've got huge expansion plans for fast charging stations around the country. The likes of Toyota, Ford, Chevy, others, they banded together to just create a whole new charging network where they're focusing on reliability and affordability and convenience. And that could really change the game.
Well, you mentioned the word convenience, and I think that there's also another business model that could be added, another component in all this, because how long does it take? What's a fast charge? How long does a fast charge take?
Yeah, so the best of the best on the market would be adding about 250 miles of driving range in maybe 15 minutes.
Okay, so you're going to be at least at the station for 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's in the best case scenario. Usually it's more like 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing out there. And so what I'm saying to all the folks that are in that convenience fueling station business, that you really need to become more of a destination now, right? Don't you think that because people are going to go in and shop, people are going to go in and maybe relax as they charge their station, maybe having a restaurant opportunities, because I look at that as is really more of a plaza, destination plaza, than it's going to be just somebody pulling in and charging. Now, I guess somebody can grab a nap or maybe catch up on email. I'm sure that's what they're going to do. But so 15 to 30 minutes is a lot longer than coming in and, taking a splash and dash, you know.
Yeah, and it also comes down to how often people travel. Because if you're traveling all the time and you're not willing to do that, then an EV is just not for you. And an EV is not going to charge in 5 minutes anytime in the next few decades. I guarantee you that. So don't expect that to get a whole lot better soon.
Okay.
But if you take just a few road trips per year, for a lot of people, it's worth the trade-off to be able to charge overnight at home at residential electricity rates, which are a lot cheaper than gas in almost every case, unless you live in, like, California or something, or Hawaii, where it's way more expensive. So it depends on how often you travel. EVs are really perfect in 2026 for urban commuters. And especially if you've got a second vehicle, not an EV, for, you know, if you're not patient when you take road trips, they're kind of just like the best vehicle for an urban commuter who just needs to get to work or school and back.
Well, your country roads there in West Virginia, no pun intended, with John Denver, we play a lot here on this. But you mentioned earlier Indiana, West Virginia, maybe we're a little bit more conservative in the sense. Is there a lot of EV? Are you seeing more and more in even your state that maybe more tendency to use gas?
Yeah, I've seen more, especially around the time that the federal tax credit was about to expire, because no matter what the political leanings are, if you see a great deal, you know that you don't take huge road trips all the time, and you could plug in at home, and you see that this EV is, you know, $5,000-$10,000 off MSRP with 0% financing. A lot of people are willing to give it a try.
Yeah, Justin, and, go ahead.
Oh, the used EV market too. I just want to say, like, before you buy new, first of all, you should always lease a new EV because they depreciate like crazy. They depreciate so much. Lease a new one, or just look at the used market first. That's where the real deals are.
Well, that's where I was wanting to go in our few minutes that we have left. Tell us a little bit how we should possibly negotiate a deal if we're looking at an EV, or maybe any car. I mean, you're in the car. Your business is a Car Edge, and you guys basically are a concierge for buyers to give them that white glove experience and trying to figure out your best deal, what kind of vehicle that makes sense to you, are for them. Is that a pretty good assumption of your business?
Yeah, so in essence, we're consumer advocates for car buyers. The dealerships and automakers have plenty of ways to make money. We're just trying to keep some money back in the pockets of the buyers who are looking just simply for a fair deal, a transparent deal. And what I would say is head to CarEdge.com, use our tools, because we've got free and premium tools. I don't want to make it sound like we're only out there trying to do white glove services. That is, we can buy the car for you. We can negotiate the entire deal. You don't even have to talk to the dealership if you don't feel like it, if you work with Car Edge. But if you're just looking for some free DIY tools, we've got those too, especially on our YouTube channel. Look us up, Car Edge. But if you're trying to get the best deal on an EV, I would say start with the aging inventory, because right now, February, there's still a whole bunch of 2025s left over, not just EVs across powertrains. I just checked yesterday, and it's about 580,000 left over 2025 models nationwide. Find those using like Car Edge Car Search. You can get even more granular local data with Car Edge Pro, and you can start to see which vehicles are the most negotiable. And if you see a car that's been sitting a lot for 200, 300, 400 days, you should be able to negotiate more than 10% off MSRP.
Well, that's a big help. That makes a world of difference when you are saying that you're coming in not knowing necessarily what you're doing. You're saying that CarEdge can give you those tips, those pointers to help you negotiate the best deal and really to look for some of those pitfalls, because buying a car today is so much different than it was 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, because of basically there's so many internet sales out there, right?
Yes, exactly. What we recommend is, especially if you have not been in the car market for 5, 6, 7 years, because prices have really just skyrocketed since 2021, definitely seek out some professional help, whether it be our free resources or maybe considering having one of our concierges negotiate your whole deal for you. But it's not like it used to be.
Well, I know you've got to get going here, Justin, but we did have one of our local dealers have just called in, Tony Del Rio. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Shane. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
Hey, Tony, I know has had a couple of electric vehicles on his lot, and Tony, I don't know if those have been popular around here, or what say you? I know Justin says that West Virginia, Indiana, a little more on the conservative side, getting into that market. What say you?
Well, I was listening to what Justin was talking about as far as like the tax credits with EVs and, the how everything is kind of was, really a lot of incentive to buy last year. And yes, I've been watching the market pricing pretty closely, and they are getting to the affordability range in the used market. One of the biggest things that we got one right now, actually, that's on the lot if anybody wants to take it down the road. They are super fun. They got some great options. I think the affordability is there to give them a try. And as Justin, said, if you got a second car and this is just a commuter here and there, they're a great option.
Justin,
the price points are there.
Justin, what do you drive?
I just returned my Ioniq 5 from a lease.
Okay.
Yes, and now I have a Highlander hybrid waiting to get another EV, probably on the used market.
I was just talking to someone that's looking at getting a Highland hybrid, and that brings up another question. We talked about the hybrid, which is something that I think to me is the way to go, because you still have the gas; it charges itself. Is that correct, guys? It charges itself.
Yeah, that's essentially how it works.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, Justin, in the conversation that 1 out of 10 EVs, but when you add the hybrid model, it goes way up. I know Ford came out with a Maverick with a hybrid. There were several hybrids. I know Toyota's done it for a while. To me, that is the wave. What say you guys? I believe that's the wave of the future. Justin?
I mean, in my opinion, it depends on what your driving habits are. Like we said, if you tend to drive around town, or maybe you want to try something completely new, maybe you care a lot about carbon emissions and you've got some clean electricity where you live, and a full EV might be the way to go. But if you travel a lot, you're not willing to sit at the charging station for maybe 30 minutes every 100, 250 miles, hybrid is a great choice.
Okay. Well, Justin, I know you got to get going. I appreciate your time. You've been very generous, and I appreciate that. Thank you, and we appreciate all of the things that you're doing to help the consumer. And good Lord willing, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah, you too, Justin. Thank you very much. Tony, as I keep you on the line, you're dealing as a local dealer. Basically, the competition is everywhere now because you have variety of different internet services. You got CarMax, got Edmunds. I mean, even some of these folks that used to be just simply car consultants, like Car and Driver. These folks are getting into the car sales business. So, what is it that separates someone that actually has a brick and mortar dealership from those internet services?
Well, from a local standpoint, is just the customer service, and the reality is, yes, you can buy a car anywhere in the country, but when you have an issue or a problem, are you going to ship it back to them? Are they going to deal with you over the phone? Are they going to take your word for it? You know, we're on the ground, we're local, and you know, we do our best to try to, you know, turn a bad situation into positive, you know, with providing the service side of everything that we do. So, yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we strive on, you know, buying quality cars. Obviously, there's price point cars that we get in on trade-in that, you know, are maybe just, you know, price point car, and sometimes it's hard to get one that is going to check all the boxes, but we definitely always try to make sure that, you know, everything is mechanically sound and works as it should.
You know, when you say check all the boxes, that seems to be kind of the deal that, you know, so many people want to come in and they want this color, they want this kind of tire size, they want this kind of engine, they want this kind of mileage, they want this particular vehicle, they want an SUV versus a sedan, all of these things. And so it's kind of like, and then you're immediately out there trying to figure out, well, what's going to be. And then at the end of the day, there's the, like you said, the price point. As people come in, what can they expect walking into a dealership versus on the online experience? Because the online experience, you're more than likely going to be talking to an artificial intelligent bot versus a human being.
Correct. And that's one of the things that's, you know, is a challenge. You know, and I've got my oldest son, Caleb Del Real, who's joined the sales team. And you know, what we do a lot is meet people and we try to get their boxes checked. And I think, you know, once we establish a price point and we get the pen to paper and you know, figure out that, okay, there's a couple boxes that can't get checked with the budget. So, you know, then we, you know, start talking and searching. And I would say 40 to 50% of our sales don't even hit our website because, you know, we're taking orders from what people want to drive.
Yeah, and we talk about how car buying has changed, but how has car selling changed over the years? I mean, I know they're similar in the kind of parallel, but I'm sure on the back end there's been a lot of internal changes that have had to be made to make the customer happy, but also to make it profitable.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of times, like, you know, picking your market. I've seen, you know, we're talking about EVs just a little bit ago with Justin, and influencers, you know, the reality is I've bid on some of these cars with a national player in the market. So, you know, and they have bots and they have proxy bidding that kind of line up. So they're buying the same vehicles that we're buying. It's just, you know, do you want to go to Nashville or California to buy it, you know, or do you want to pay the transportation to get it here? So it's changed, and a lot of people are influenced by influencers online. So it's definitely changed the game, and it's made it a little tougher, and the prices points are hiking up when you, you know, decide to, you know, go after a certain market. So it's interesting. It's fun. The car business is always changing and evolving, so we just kind of got to go with it.
Well, give me a couple of tips. I know we're getting close to the top of the hour, but give me a couple of tips for someone that maybe it's a first-time car buying experience. That is always an experience for anybody that is ever, you know, first time going into. You just found out that you qualified for a loan, or maybe you got a little jingle in your pocket and you want to go ahead and buy a vehicle. Give us a. How do people come in and negotiate? And it's not always just a scenario, well, there's the problem. But, you know, anymore, I guess I shouldn't say negotiate, because sometimes the price is the price on, because you've tried to get that price down to the point where it's attractive for people to come in. Negotiating has changed a little bit over the years.
Well, it really has, and I'll be honest with you, when we price our inventory, it's priced very competitive. There's so much data that goes into it. I mean, we've got data that says that people will drive up to 200 miles to save $300. So, you know, if we're not pricing our cars right, we're not selling them. And we notice that right away. So we are competitive. So, yeah, the days of negotiating are few and far between. And you'll see that when you start venturing and looking for, you know, if you're a first-time buyer, And the good thing is we've got programs for first-time buyers that guaranteed financing. So, you know, there's different stuff, and and that's where the service added, you know, kind of comes into play and what we can offer to a new buyer.
Well, I would also say that another reason that, you know, people maybe need to take at least, I always say at least go to your local dealerships or regional dealership first, and even give them a last look before you push the button on at the internet buy or whatever the case may be, because the internet, they're not sponsoring the Little League teams at the park, and they're not sponsoring the volleyball team or the basketball team or the band trip, whatever. Those folks, you know, you don't see that kind of sponsorship and engagement in the community like someone like you, you know, that your name is on a lot of t-shirts as a sponsor.
Right. And that's, you know, that's just our civic duty. And, you know, I think it's a lot of times, you know, you take care of your community and your community always finds a way to take care of you. So we love to do it. And that's not the reason we do it. It's just a full circle. You know, Clinton County has always been a great place to live, work, and play. And we like to support that.
One last question. He mentioned he bought an Iona. What's an Iona? Is that a new vehicle?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Apparently, that's a new electric vehicle. I don't know. I'm gonna have to check that out, because I think I have seen that floating around on the internet. But he purchased an Iona, and it's a used one. So apparently, they've been out for a little while. So
yeah, but, we're gonna have to do our homework.
Now
there.
you got a Tesla, right?
Yeah, we got a Tesla Long Range 3. So pretty cool.
When you say long range, what does that mean?
The battery is a little bigger, so you get a little bit more mileage per charge.
Okay. Do you know what the mileage is right now on say that vehicle?
The range is probably about 320 miles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So not bad. Caleb's actually been driving it. Bought my Glovers yesterday, and
That's about a day trip for my wife. So
yeah, it's a zippy little car.
All right. Hey, well, thank you. How do people get a hold of you if they want to look for maybe come test drive the Tesla? Maybe somebody's looking at EV. Maybe they're looking for an opportunity to save money on gas. How do they get a hold of you?
765-654-7253, which spells sale, SALE.
Now, we know that word very well at Glovers. Hey, and you have an internet presence. People can check out all the inventory on the internet.
Yeah, it's DelRealAutomotive.com.
DelRealAutomotive.com. All right. Hey, Tony, thank you very much. Tell Caleb I said hi, and you guys have a great one, and keep her on the right side of the road. All right, thanks, man. I think I lost him. All right, Tony Del Real joining us this morning. Also, Justin Fisher from Car Edge. Really cool cool conversation today. All us guys, we like cars. We like talking cars. So, and Kirsten's going to be joining us. Kirsten, is it right? Kirsten's going to be in studio with us here in just a little bit. Kirsten Walmsley, she is over from Thorntown, and we're going to be talking about the Daughters of American Revolution and a little bit of the library. It's going to be a good conversation. That's coming up here in just a little bit. Don't forget our sponsors, TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals. Save money now. 24/7. We love bigdeals.com. We need to probably get Tony a vehicle on there or something. You can save money there. BoonCountyDailyNews.com, CarrollCountyDailyNews.com, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspapers, bringing you all things local and regional, and just a great way to catch up with all of your news, catch up with all of your activities, events, sports, scores, and weather. And speaking of weather, it's going to be pretty decent today. We're looking at a high, I believe it was going to be 41, and then tomorrow we're looking at a high of 49, maybe even getting to 50. I think we're going to get to 50. Oh, by the way, I told you we're going to get to 50 the other day, and we did. So there you go. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk more here on Party Line.